Come, Holy Spirit, take these words and speak to us through them, I ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Please be seated. I heard a pastor tell a story about a church service one time. He said, during the children's sermon one Sunday morning, I held up an ugly-looking summer shirt that I wore occasionally around the house. I explained to the children that someone said the shirt was ugly and should be thrown away. This really hurt me, I explained. I'm having trouble forgiving the person who said those mean things. Do you think I should forgive that person? I asked the children. Immediately, my 6-year-old daughter, Alicia, raised her hand. Yes, you should, she said without hesitation. But why? That person hurt my feelings, I responded. To which she wisely replied, because you're married to her, that's why. Every once in a while, I go to my drawer, chest of drawers in my closet, and I find an article of clothing missing. Something that maybe I really like, and maybe it's a sweatshirt with some holes in it that I like to wear around the house, or maybe it's some jeans that don't look so great, and all of a sudden they're missing. And I come to find out my wife has thrown them out, if you can believe that. Well, as I kind of all started back when we were first married, and she threw out one of my favorite green corduroy suits. Well, obviously, I have since that time forgiven her for that. But at the same time, I still kind of keep a closer eye on my clothing than I used to, shall we say. But I've come to realize that she really has in mind my best interest at heart. She wants me to look the best that I can. And obviously wearing some of the clothing that I picked out, I thought looked really good. Probably didn't look so good after all. And so she's doing that for me and for my benefit, obviously. This sort of seems like a silly example, but I've known relationships that have broken up over much simpler things than this. I mean, that many lives have been messed up because a person could not let go of a past hurt, or a past slight, or some careless word that was said to them, or that maybe they can't let go of some event that happened to them in the past. Certainly, St. Paul had something to say about that in our second lesson today from Philippians. So if you wouldn't mind getting out your Bibles and turning to our second lesson from Philippians today, Philippians chapter 3, that's on page 1826 in the Pew Bibles. And Paul really is talking about, first of all, he's talking about his former life as a Jew, and then his life as a Christian. And he's going to tie all that together with putting the past behind, as you'll see in just a moment. But he starts out in Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 4, by saying, if someone else thinks that they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the 8th day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. Verse 6, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. In other words, Paul was saying here that if anybody was going to be saved by keeping the law, by being a Jew, by trying to live a righteous life, then it would be him. He was living the best Jewish life possible, and so if it would be possible for a person to receive salvation based on being Jewish, and based upon living according to the commandments of God, he was doing better than just about anyone. And so he'd say to his fellow Jews, I have the right to say that if anybody's going to be saved by being the way they're living, it's me. But he goes on then to add something to that. He says in verse 7, but whatever were gains to me, I consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. So he's saying here that he used to depend upon his own goodness for salvation. He used to depend upon his own ability to keep the Jewish law. He used to depend upon his being Jewish as being his entree into heaven. But he comes to realize now that he's come to know Jesus Christ that that way is flawed, that a person can never get into heaven by the basis of their own good works or by keeping the law or by just being a Christian or a Jew or anything. He's saying you get into heaven by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It is through his righteousness that we have the ability to be accepted by God and to have an entrance into heaven. And so Paul is saying here that I used to trust in my own self-righteousness, my own goodness, but now I'm trusting in Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say in verse 10, I want to know Christ. Yes, I want to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this, or I've already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. This next verse is what I want to focus on in relationship to putting the past behind us. He says this in verse 13. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to yet have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul's saying here, I have a lot that I need to forget about. There's a lot in my past that I need to forget. I need to forget, for example, all of the times that I was judgmental against my fellow Jews and against the Gentiles. I need to put the past behind me for having Christians put to death and actually standing by and giving my approval as the first martyr of the Christian church was killed, and that is Stephen. I need to put the past behind me in the sense that I have to forget all of the punishment and the persecution that was laid on me by my fellow Jews when I became a Christian. I have to put the past behind me when I have to forget the judgmentalism of the early Christians who really were skeptical about my conversion to Christianity. I have to put the past behind me when I forget about the disagreements that I had with a couple of my fellow Christians that caused them to be separated from me. I have to put the past behind me when the other apostles were skeptical about my Christianity as well, and they began to teach false teachings, and I had to correct them. Who knows what else Paul had to put behind him? Who knows what else he had to try to forget about in his life? Whatever the case was, he chose to put the past behind him and to move on. He chose not to dwell on the past, but to focus on the present and the future. He chose to focus on Jesus Christ and drawing closer to him and seeking to live according to his commandments and obey the teachings of Christ. Sometimes it's easy for us to hang on to the past in our lives. And certainly that can be the case when we have someone that does something against us, someone that says something against us. Maybe you're on social media and someone is really putting you down or criticizing you on social media. Maybe someone is talking about you behind your back and spraying all sorts of lies to others about you. And so you find it difficult to put the past behind you. Sometimes you've done something in the past for which you're ashamed. Maybe you've committed some sin or you've done something wrong that you don't even think God could forgive you for. And you have trouble putting that behind you and pressing on and moving on. And so you're struggling with the same things that St. Paul was struggling with. Think about the Apostle Peter. He denied Christ 3 times. He had to put that behind him and press on to become the great apostle that he ended up being. So just because you've done something wrong in your life, just because you've failed in some way, just because someone has said something to you, damaged your reputation or hurt you in some way, doesn't mean that you can't put that behind you. Because many others have done that before. I think about Clara Barton, who was a hero nurse of the Civil War. And she was also the first president of the American Red Cross. And a friend of hers reminded her of an incident that happened. His friend said, reminded her about something cruel that another person had done to Clara Barton. And she said to Clara Barton, "Don't you remember what this person did to you?" And Clara Barton said something amazing. She said, "I distinctly remember forgetting that. I distinctly remember forgetting that." Isn't that a great attitude to have, if you can really muster that sort of thing? I remember the story of a woman by the name of Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie Ten Boom was a Christian who lived I can't remember exactly where she lived, but wherever she lived, she and her family were accused of housing Jews. And at that time, if you were housing Jews and you were caught doing that, then you were sent to the concentration camps along with the Jewish people. Corrie Ten Boom and her family were all Christians, but because they were housing Jews and they were caught, she was sent to the Ravensbrück concentration camp. And so while she was there, she saw not only her sister die, but also she saw many of the Jewish people put to death, as well as some of her fellow Christians. And so as she saw all of those things, she experienced many terrible things that happened in that prison camp. Well, she eventually was freed from that camp, and in 1947, she went back to Germany to preach the gospel. And when she went to Germany to preach the gospel, in one of her meetings, Corrie had spoken about her time in Ravensbrück concentration camp, as well as many of the things she had witnessed there. And she also talked about the forgiveness of God. After the talk was over, a number of people lined up to say hello to her and that sort of thing. And she noticed in the line there was one person that brought back terrible memories. One person that had a terribly familiar face. It was a man who had been one of the cruelest guards at the prison camp in which she was. As she saw him, a source of painful memories flooded her mind. The man came up to her and stuck out his hand and said, "A fine message, Fräulein. How good it is to know that all of our sins are at the bottom of the sea." Corrie didn't take his hand, but fumbled in her purse. Her blood froze. She knew him, but he obviously didn't recognize her. That was understandable. After all, that was only one faceless prisoner among tens of thousands. Then he said, "You mentioned Ravensbrück. I was a guard there, but since then, I have become a Christian. I know God has forgiven the cruel things I did there, but I would like to hear it from your lips as well." Again, he stuck out his hand. "Fräulein, will you forgive me?" How could she, after all that had happened? Her hand wouldn't move. Yet she knew the Lord wanted her to forgive him. All she could do was cry inwardly, "Jesus, help me. I can lift my hand, but you'll have to do the rest." Woodenly, mechanically, she raised her hand to take his. She was acting out of obedience and faith, not out of love. However, even as she did, she experienced God's transforming grace. Corrie wrote later on about this incident. As she explained God's grace, she responded to the former guard, "I forgive you, brother. I cried with all my heart." For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. But even then, I realized it was not my love. I had tried and did not have the power. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're having trouble today forgiving someone that has hurt you in the past. Maybe they said something that really wounded you. Maybe they've done something against you that caused you to suffer some sort of a loss. Or maybe they've done something against you that really bruised your ego. Or maybe there's just been some incident that's happened in the past that you can't seem to get over. Maybe it's some sort of sin you've committed that you feel like that you just can't forgive yourself for. Maybe it's something you feel like God can't even forgive you for. The good news is today that you can get over that. You can put the past behind you. You can begin to move on in your life. You can begin to forgive those who have hurt you. First of all, focus on Jesus Christ. Begin to realize that Jesus Christ has forgiven you for so much in your life. Many of the things for which He's forgiven you, you don't deserve forgiveness. Think about the things for which He has forgiven you and realize that that forgiveness is something that extends through all of your sins in your life. Remember His word in Jeremiah chapter 31, in which He said, "This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time," after Christ comes, is talking about, "I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor and say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." It's not that God has amnesia. It's not that God can't remember our sins. He chooses not to remember them. He chooses to forget them. "As far as the east is from the west," He says, "that's how far I've removed your sins from you." He's chosen to forget our past. That's what He asks us to do for others. To forget the past hurts that we've experienced. To forget the past slights that we have encountered. To forget those things that we have done. Now, it's not easy to do that. It's not something that we can do overnight. It's not certainly something that we can do by ourselves. We need His help. After we focus on Jesus and how much He's forgiven us, and as we've asked the Holy Spirit to fill us, then we can seek the Holy Spirit's help in pouring the love of God into our hearts, asking Him to give us a sense of amnesia when it comes to those past hurts, those past sins, those past events in our lives. And then asking Him to fill us with His grace to forgive others and to put the past behind us. Now, this is not going to happen overnight. It may be something you have to do over and over and over again. But as you continue to seek the Lord and ask for His grace and help, then eventually you'll get to that place where you can put the past behind you. You can forgive the sins of others that they've committed against you. And you can begin to move on and begin to do the things that God wants you to do in your life. To begin to fulfill the calling of Christ in your life. And as you do that, then you'll find ultimate fulfillment. And eventually the things of the past will begin to fade away, slowly but surely, so that no longer will they have the effect over you that they have now. All this can only be done through Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Lord, I want to pray specifically for any person here who may have committed some sin for which they feel like that you can't forgive them or won't forgive them. Lord, would you remind them of all the people you have forgiven, not only in the New Testament, but throughout history? Would you remind them that there's no sin that they have committed that you cannot forgive? Would you also remind them, Lord, that you've removed their sin as far as the east is from the west, and you choose to remember their sin no more? Lord, would you also give each one of us the ability to put behind us those things that others have done against us, those past hurts and ways that we have been wounded? Help us to put those behind us and to move on in our lives and to focus on the present and the future, the things that you want us to accomplish in this life which you've given us. And ultimately, Lord, would you break the hold of anything that has happened to us in the past so that those things will no longer have any effect upon our lives in the present or in the future. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, that you were willing to put our past behind us and to remember our sins no more. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.